Greetings in Jesus' name again this morning. You know, I felt bad this morning, Nathan, but sorry. So maybe I ought to go this way. Something that stood out to me in one of the songs we sang this morning, that fits and goes along with what I want to share about this morning. We sang these words, "Thy truth unchanged hath ever stood. Thou savest those that call on thee. To them that seek thee, thou art good. To those who find thee, all in all." And then the next verse, down in the verse, talked about the living bread and the longing to feast upon thee still. And then we sang, "We drink of thee, the fountainhead." Where'd your mind go when you sang that? My mind went to a mountain spring. You know, there's fresh water in the mountains. But it can get contaminated pretty quickly once it gets away from that spring outlet point. That's where we're to drink. And I thought, you know, do I contaminate that water for others when it gets down the stream a little ways? What do we do when we drink from the fountainhead and then we let some of that water spill out? What are we spilling out? Are we spilling out contaminated water, or is it pure water direct from that fountainhead? Well, that's where my mind went as we sang that song this morning. And I don't have a good title this morning, because it's really one of those subjects that I'm a little afraid to talk about. And because there's varied opinions about this. Is there anybody here that never worried? I want to see your hand if you never worried. Nobody? Anybody here that was never anxious? And I thought about when the prayer requests were being given, and I ought to give this disclaimer as well. Andrew and Loretta never came to my mind when I was getting this message together until that prayer request was given this morning. I thought, well, it might fit. But this wasn't geared for you all, okay? That's never. And I say that because I preached one time at another church years and years ago. And when I mentioned something in a message, I saw an expression on a face and I thought, they think I'm talking about their situation. Never crossed my mind until I saw that expression. So just want you all to know, Andrew and Loretta, that this, hope it'll help you, but it's not geared for you all this morning at all. The what ifs, the whys, the unknowns in life, are where a lot of anxious moments are born. Life, before they happen, and the dread was way worse than what happened. Okay? The anxieties increase in those situations when we don't control or can't control the outcome. There are circumstances in life that could be helped by making changes in what we do or the way we think about certain things. But there are also circumstances that we didn't cause, that no matter what we do, the outcome is out of our control. We can't control the outcome. But it's largely up to me how those circumstances in life will affect me. And I'll give some more disclaimers. Yes, I've laid awake at night and couldn't sleep because of things I was facing. It don't happen very often, but it does happen. And it's because I don't process it correctly, all right? Continue a little bit with some disclaimers. You might think that he hasn't faced the things in life that I have faced, so he doesn't know what I'm going through or have gone through. And that's probably true. The injuries, the failures, the sicknesses, and you can name on what you want, that I have been through have not been as serious or severe as others. And I've even been told on occasion that I just don't understand. And that's probably true at times too. I'll just tell you, I know what it's like to need groceries for a young family and not have the money to go buy groceries. I know what it's like to be in at the North Carolina-South Carolina border about 10:30 at night with a pickup truck and a load of cattle and some young children and need gas, and you have an Exxon credit card in your pocket, but there's no Exxon stations open and you don't have any cash. I know what that's like. And I probably worried that night. Where am I going to get gas? Stations are closed, at least all the Exxon stations. So we finally got off the interstate there about Rock Hill, South Carolina, and drove down the road until we found the Exxon station, and it didn't have a lot of gas left. So, yeah, I know a little bit about some things in life, but not too severe. We never had much when I was growing up, but we had enough. When my siblings were together here recently, it was noted that all that we did as a family when we were young, nobody suffered any broken bones that needed doctor's attention. There was nine of us, and I would shudder to let my children do what some of the things we did as youngsters, okay? We had our share of cuts and bruises and so forth. You see, I haven't had much in life. I've been a pretty healthy individual. Had my first surgery at 47. Spent the first night in the hospital as a patient when I was 57. And that wasn't by my choosing. I wanted to go home that night. The doctor said, we're going to operate on you tomorrow. I said, so I get to go home tonight and I'll be back in the morning. He said, you're not going anywhere. So I spent two nights there. All right, enough for the disclaimers. Most of the things I have to share this morning are not original with me, but I agree with most of them, okay? Well, I better agree with all of them, wouldn't I? Okay. I used this quote before, at least I had it in my notes before. Worry is the dark room in which negatives can develop. I'm going to disagree with that quote just a little bit, because worry is the dark room in which negatives will develop. Not just can. If you stick in the worry, they're going to develop, okay? Francis Chan, I don't know him. Looked up a little bit this morning to see who he was. He's some minister that was from California somewhere, but he wrote a book, and he made this statement. Worry implies that we don't quite trust that God is big enough, powerful enough, or loving enough to take care of what is happening in our lives. Stress says that the things we are involved in are important enough to merit our impatience, our lack of grace towards others, our tight grip of control. Worry smacks of self-centeredness, self-pity, pride, and control. Why is it we think this life is all about us? I've been there. You know, it's about me. He goes on, who created the earth and us? Who holds it all together? Who gives us everything we have, when even the breath we breathe? The same God who gave us the greatest gift of all, salvation with eternal life and a heavenly home. And we think it's about us. And that's the end of that quote. After I printed my notes off, something came to my mind, and so I put it at the end, and I'll refer to it here. Somebody wrote these words, and it includes Paul and Silas there in the jail. They said this, their chains were fastened tight down at the jail that night. Still, Paul and Silas would not be dismayed. They said, it's time to lift our voice, sing praises to the Lord. Let's prove that we will trust him come what may. Now, that's just, you know, putting thoughts into words of what could have happened down at the jail that night. He loves to hear our praise on our cheerful days, when the pleasant times outweigh the bad by far. But when suffering comes along and we still sing him song, that is when we bless the Father's heart. God wants to hear you sing when the waves are crashing round you, when the fiery darts surround you, when despair is all you see. God wants to hear your voice when the wisest man has spoken and says your circumstance is as hopeless as can be. That's when God wants to hear you sing. And I tell you, I don't do that very good. I'm going to tell another account toward the end, and I'll save that till then. I want to look at Matthew 6 a little bit here at the beginning. And I don't think, didn't go back and just look, anxiety and worry, I don't believe, are in the original writings, okay? Has some other words that mean just the same thing in our language today. Now, I didn't look that up. You might come back and say, yeah, it does say don't worry. Somewhere. Starting at verse 25, and this is right after he talks about possessions and serving two masters. Verse 25 says this, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. What ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? I want to stop there just a little bit, in case I forget it down in a little. This has nothing to do with, it's okay if I go without clothes. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about worrying about what we're going to put on and do to take care of this body, food or clothing, that this is not telling you that it's okay to, God's okay with you going around with no clothes on. 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Stop again. This doesn't give you the right to just not work. Just go out and get what you want and be done with it. Verse 27, which of you by taking thought or worrying or becoming anxious can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And I was going to get a copy of that little quote that I saw show up on Telegram this week, and I forgot to do it, and I forget exactly what it says, but it's about that last verse. So let's go back to verse 25, and let's go down through this just a little. Back when this was written, take thought meant to be anxious. Don't be anxious about your life. The revision says this, be not anxious. The Greek word means to have the mind distracted. You know, when we get anxious, we're distracted. We are focused at the wrong place. But this writer says Christ does not forbid prudent forethought. You know, you can think about things, just don't worry about them now. I'm not going to sit here and, or stand here and tell you when you cross that line between prudent forethought and worry. But you probably will know when you get there. God gave the life, and it is higher than food. If he gave the life, he will see that it's sustained if we trust him. The birds, God feeds the birds without them sowing and reaping, but they do the work for which they were created. So why did God make birds? Just to eat up a bunch of food? Well, I enjoy seeing them come to my bird feeder, except for some of them. I'm not quite sure why he made them. Starlings and blue jays and some of those kind of things. But got to watch or took some pictures of a bald eagle sitting out in the field yesterday. And, you know, some people would say, well, they're just a vulture with a white head. Still think they're a pretty magnificent bird. He will take care of us, not in idleness or improvidence, but if we do the work for which God has created us, he'll take care of us. When we're in the thick of it, sometimes it's a little hard to understand that concept. Because, you see, we fall in the camp of what, how did they put it here? When the wisest man has spoken and says, your circumstance is as hopeless as can be, and we feel that way sometimes, that's when God needs to hear you sing. That's when we need to make a choice to change that attitude. Which of us can extend our life? And that's, as I understand it, basically what it means to add one cubit to your stature. Doesn't mean that you can take thought and grow to as big as your daddy Burns, as tall as your daddy. But maybe you will. Maybe you'll get taller than he is. That's not what it's talking about. I wish I was that tall. I'll make it happen. Doesn't happen that way. Who, by his anxiety, can add anything to life's journey? Is the thought that it has there. We add a lot to life's journey by worrying. We do. But it's not profitable addition. We add weights. We add frustrations. Loss of sleep. We count lots of sheep. You could go down the list. It's not profitable as we worry. And then he gives the examples of the lily and how grass grows up and it was cut down, and at that point it was used to keep them warm and cook and that kind of thing. So he says, don't worry what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. And don't forget, this is Jesus talking. New King James says for verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. RSV says that let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. You don't need tomorrow's troubles today. Reminds me of what somebody else wrote. Don't fear tomorrow. God's already there. He already knows what you're going to face tomorrow, better than what you know what happened yesterday. And he's able to take care of that. Turn to Philippians 4. And here we have the use of the same word in a different form in our language. And this follows right after the statement, and I started in verse 5 in my notes, but I thought, well, you know, verse 4 needs to be there too, because that's the source of it. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Maybe I should have read it the way we would treat it sometimes. Rejoice in the Lord sometimes, and again I say rejoice. But no, that's not the way Paul wrote it to the Philippians. Always. But I can't. No, you can't. Not without the help of the Lord. Verse 5. Let's read down through here a little bit further now. Verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. There's that same word as give no thought. In Matthew, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Let your forbearance, your moderation, in verse 5, be known unto all men. It's not a characteristic I have very much of. Need to work on it. So verse 4 said, rejoice in the Lord always. And then the end of verse 5, it says, the Lord is at hand. So what are we telling others in our rejoicing, or lack thereof? And I'm told that this, the Lord is at hand, was a watchword of the early church in times of trouble. And it meant, practically, deliverance is near. You know, if I would remember that when I'm in the middle of that difficulty, illness, whatever, God's right here. I was about ready to say could have an effect. It would have an effect. Now, if you can tell me how to get from not sleeping because you're thinking about something to crossing that over and I'm just going to lay down and sleep, I haven't figured that one out, but I as I cast that burden on the Lord, it seems like he does, might take a few minutes, but usually I can go back to sleep. It's been a while since I've stayed awake because of difficulties. Stayed awake for some other reasons, but anyhow. Verse 6. Have no distressing anxiety about anything. And careful has a little bit to do with, or it used to mean, full of care. So we get so full of care that we're not good for much of anything else. Have no distressing anxiety about anything, but rather in everything, what does it say? By prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God. Instead of anxiety, lay it out for God and trust him to do all things well. So we need to pour our soul out in prayer. Yes, it's okay to tell him about your wants or your needs or whatever they are. But I thought about that. We don't tell him about what we want or need because he's unaware of what we want or need. But he wants us to come to him and tell him that we know that he's able to take care of those things. And there's a difference. And then we come with thanksgiving. We don't come complaining. Well, it's just been so tough these last couple of days or these last couple of weeks. Maybe it has. But we come with thankfulness because he's taking care of us. And here's one of these benefits we talked about in Sunday school this morning, Caleb. That's why I gave you the answer I did right off the bat. The peace of God, which we don't even understand fully. It says it passes all understanding. Will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. That's the reason after I've struggled with not being able to sleep and this kind of thing, that we give it to God. He'll keep your heart and your mind. That's the way you can go back to sleep. Peace that comes by putting all in the hands of the one who is able and willing to deliver. Whenever we fully trust the Lord, there comes a peace that is past the understanding of those who have never experienced it, and even if we have experienced it. I want to read a couple of those verses from the Amplified. Verse 6 says, do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. And the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus is yours. Another quote, it is an impossibility to rejoice in the Lord and worry at the same time. If in all our life we have it all together, we will never need God. But since we don't, we should be thankful for the unknowns and our lack of control and run to him. Continuing on with the person that wrote this, he says, as a boy, he can remember singing a song that asked the question, why worry when you can pray? There's much truth there. If we truly believe that God is in control of our lives and we can trust Him, then let's give back to Him those circumstances that tend to produce worry and stress. I looked, I don't know for sure who said that, but it's good thoughts. I tried to look back. I thought maybe I'd used this illustration before, and I probably have referred to a little, but I want to go through a man's life experience and how he faced it in relation to this. This is a man that died when he was 48 years old. He got cancer when he was 36, if I'm not mistaken. And this is what he said. I listened to his testimony a couple of times to make sure I got it right. Probably still misquoted him a little bit at times, but tried to get it right. He was battling cancer. And he said that was the best time of his life, the most wonderful time of his life. His life couldn't have been better at that point. He had married his dream girl. Let me back up a little bit. That's what he said about the cancer diagnosis. It was the best time of his life, and it was the most wonderful time of his life. He used both of those statements. Now we're going to go back to where he was before that diagnosis. He said his life could not have been better. He married his dream girl. He had a wonderful family. He had his dream job. Things were going great. And he said, some asked him how he could say that life was better since he got cancer. And he goes on, he says, yeah, he was like most of the rest of us. I was paralyzed with fear when I heard the diagnosis cancer. I thought I was the type of person that would go into a room and close the door and not come out till it was time to go to heaven. That's not what happened. He said, at first, I prayed and asked God to heal me so I could praise Him, so that I can tell others He healed me, and look what He can do. Maybe I better stick with reading some of this. So that I can tell others that You still touch bodies and heal people. I would pray things like, Lord, think of the glory and praise I can give You if You touch my body and heal me. That was his initial response to his diagnosis. God is God in the valley just as much as He is God on the mountain. Psalm 1 doesn't say, yea, though I walk up to the valley of the shadow of death, You will be with me. It doesn't say, yea, though I walk up to the valley of the shadow of death, and yea, though I walk up to the valley and go around the valley of the shadow of death, You will be with me. It doesn't say, yea, though I walk up to the valley of the shadow of death, and You lift me up and carry me over and set me down on the other side, You will be with me. It says, yea, though I walk right through the middle of the valley of the shadow of death, You will be with me. God is worthy of our trust. And this is all from this man. I'll tell you, he's not a Mennonite, okay? Never was a Mennonite. Never claimed to be a Mennonite. He admitted, he said, I wanted to hear the word cured. But he said, I knew that remission is as good as it gets with leukemia. But he said, I have experienced the grace of God in ways that I didn't know existed. His testimony goes on and he says, even if I were given the opportunity to give up the cancer, but you also have to give up with that gained access, gained walk with God, he said, I'd keep the cancer. Quite a testimony. And he was in the middle of it. I think at the stage where he would have given this testimony, he was probably in remission. But he lived it out. This man also did some songwriting. And he says this about a year and a half before his diagnosis. So he'd been 34, 35, long in there. He was inspired to write a song. He said, it just did not make sense. He said, I was living this dream life. My wife, my family, my job. He said, things were going great. And he said, it did not make sense. He said, I took it to my wife and said, I don't understand this. Doesn't make any sense. Then he comes and he says, little did I know that in a very short time, I would be facing the toughest time of my life. And this is what he wrote. The disciples were tossed on a cold, raging sea, but Jesus was sleeping so peacefully. They cried, Master, oh, don't you care that we die? He spoke three soft words, peace, be still. It was the storm that had to die. I know how it feels to be tossed by the storm. I know how it feels to be battered and torn. And I know how it feels to be carried on through, calmed by the strength of the one who's been faithful and true. Now keep in mind, he wrote this when he was the picture of health, had everything going for him. The chorus went like this, so don't be afraid when the darkness is closing. The Master is here. His voice calms every storm. When the world says it's over, the Master says, no, I've just begun. In your darkest of times, whether rain or in sunshine, don't be afraid. You see, we can trust the Master that was in that boat with those disciples. He's still the same person today. And I need to remember that as I go through life. Somebody else wrote this. I don't know who wrote it. Tried to find it and couldn't figure it out. It says, Lord, I knew a time like this would surely come my way when in disbelief I'd watch my whole life change. I thought I'd have the words to tell you how I feel. But the only thing my heart is telling me to say is, Lord, stay close to me as I journey through the darkness of this great unknown. Lord, stay close to me, though I've placed my faith in you, I feel so all alone. My heart trembles like a child as I walk each scary mile. And the only prayer my lips can find to speak is, Lord, stay close to me. I guess that I could ask you for a miracle to even take away this trial that I face. But Lord, I know that you alone know what I need. So would you hold my hand as I journey through this place? Oh Lord, when I'm so scared, please be there, Lord, so I can rest in the promise that you care. Lord, I know that I can make it through if all I have is you. Be anxious for nothing. Pray about everything. It's not an easy task, but it is worth it. We have a song, please.